Trending Mobile Technology, Episode 97, hosted right here on the TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's another mobile round from your mobile host with his mobile recording studio, giving you another round of Trending Mobile Technology, hosted proudly right here on the brand new TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. That's right, it is brand new. We are the home of the hashtag. Many of the shows that we do host here on this network have their own hashtag. Unfortunately, I do not. For the simple fact that every time I try and locate a hashtag, somebody else is already using it. So, without further ado, contact information. Remember the name Piper the DJ. All one word, no spaces, no underscores. Piper the DJ, that is me. You can find me on Gmail, Google Plus, and Twitter. If you have something that you want to reach out and get to me and talk to me about, feel free to use one of those three forms of communication. We do have quite a bit of feedback. I've kind of been neglecting it a little bit, but there are quite a few things that I want to get to today in the social media network. But moving on right quickly in a follow-up story from last week. I've been discussing the Mi Note from Xiaomi for the past couple weeks. The first batch that Xiaomi had put out sold out in minutes. Current pre-orders skyrocketing over 200 million devices. That's M for million, folks. That obliterates Samsung's presence in the Asian market. Currently, Xiaomi is dominant in the Asian market, and there is no current determination whether or not the Mi Note will make it stateside. But over there, it looks like it is doing very, very well. Now, many people, and I'm going to preface my next story a little bit, because it's Android versus Android. And as always, when you have a new device, people want to take the new hotness and they want to put it against something that's been around for a little bit. And there's lots of people that are putting the Nexus 6 against the Samsung Galaxy Note 4. Operating system to operating system, hardware to hardware, various things of that nature. Overall, you know, it's such a biased review. I read it and I can't really report on it too awful much for the simple fact that it comes down to what you want your device to do. This particular individual voted in favor of the Samsung Galaxy Note 4 based on performance. However, when it came to software, they still advocated for the Note 4. I believe that I've ranted and raved on multiple occasions concerning the deficiencies of Samsung in their inability to update. This particular writer did not necessarily cite anything about TouchWiz being outdated. They didn't mention, they seemed to skate over the fact that that currently Google and the Android operating system are well above what everybody else is, well behind. Currently, the Samsung Galaxy Note 4 is releasing 4.4.3, and they are currently two builds behind. The Note 4 5.0 build is in the stages of rollout, but no official word as to when that is actually going to hit the waves. Samsung Galaxy Note 6, that is my new daily driver, and I just can't say enough about it, folks. It continues to impress me. I continue to grow more and more fond with the Nexus line. Continuing on in Lollipop news, Cyanogen Mod 11, which is the Lollipop equivalent for Cyanogen Mod, which is, and for those who don't really know, Cyanogen Mod is the as close to pure Android as you're going to get. There is a Note 4 equivalent for the Cyanogen Mod 11 build, which is a single tap to install. You got to download the app, download an app, and then it'll automatically install Cyanogen Mod 11. Root is required to do this, as well as a bootloader, an unlocked bootloader. If you have either of those two things that you're not quite sure how to do, if you Google either one of those requests, you can find just about the answers from many, many different people in the developer community. AT&T, in a bold move to increase their market share, they have purchased Nextel out of Mexico. They purchased the 1100 megahertz spectrum for $1.8 billion U.S., and this is an effort for AT&T to expand their global network. Now, Mexico is still classified as part of North America, even though it is Mexico, but there's a lot of people that go from the United States to Mexico and back again, with beef for visiting. There's also the Caribbean islands that are down there, and various things of that nature. And so this is an effort for AT&T to expand their market share, and I think this is a good thing for AT&T because it gives them opportunity to expand their bandwidth. They're increasing their 1100 megahertz spectrum band, as well as they are moving on and gaining more customers. T-Mobile went on the books this past week, citing that they are, quote, expanding their 700 megahertz network, that's band 12 for those that are keeping track, in many, many high population areas. Now, for those who aren't fully sure, the 700 megahertz network band, that is the band, it's a wide band that can make its way into buildings, okay? So if you, like, go to the store or something like that and your phone, it can't connect or it winds up losing its connection, the 700 megahertz band will give you the opportunity to get better penetration within that store. Many people going on the books recently, related story going off of my Nexus 6 versus the Note 4 earlier this episode, biggest downfall they're holding against the Nexus 6 is bandwidth limitations. Now, so we understand, the Nexus 6 contains all the equipment, the hardware that you need to be able to get it onto any specific type of band, okay? But if you're going to send the Nexus 6 overseas, cross the pond to the UK or someplace of that nature, you need to unlock the AWS so you can access the LTE. It does contain 700 megahertz hardware. It does contain 1100 megahertz hardware, but you need to get in and access the AWS setup to do that. And xda-developers.com comes to your salvation on this. Additionally, following up with the UK, Project Badass. Now, I can't help but laugh when I read a story like this for the simple fact the code name that they're giving it. Project Badass is a privacy program that has been established by the British and Canadian government in an effort to increase security and surveillance. And the short answer to this project is what it is the government has the opportunity and ability to log into your phone and access camera and microphone without your knowledge or without a third-party app. Anybody say privacy concerns? Now, I'm not going to pull out my tinfoil hat on this and everything like that because I know the NSA and the CIA and all the other three-letter American governments have the ability to do that. But this is a big... I mean, we all remember Batman, right? When Batman had enabled all the cell phones to act as homing signals so he could track down the Joker. Well, this is kind of the same thing, folks. I mean, kind of creepy. You know, it's one thing. I guess, I can look at them and say, okay, well, at least they're being open about this. Okay, a lot of people, they scream for transparency. And at least the Canadians and the UK are being open and transparent when it comes to a situation like this, whereas the NSA is just being blatant denial. But you know, it's they're going at it from the safety perspective. Okay, so if you dial 911 over here in the United States, your GPS automatically enables so you can be located. If you utilize certain applications or programs on your device, certain things automatically happen in preferences and permissions. This could be kind of the same thing, and I can kind of see where they're coming from on this. But if you're an individual like me, where the phone rides on your hip, 9 times out of 10, it's under a shirt, okay? Because my shirt's somewhat untucked and it covers up my phone so that everybody can't see it and maybe lift it off my belt or something of that nature. They're not going to get very much out of me, Because about the only time that my phone's off of my hip is when I'm using it for something. And in most cases, it's for school. But I do understand that there's plenty of other people that do plenty of other things with the surveillance and things of that nature. So I can kind of understand where this is coming from. But on the flip side of it, I'm just like, you know, there's an awful lot of burner phones that are out there. You're talking about having to install government slagware on things and just potentially bogging down an operating system. Big stories came out from the Motorola camp this year, or this week. A former employee of Motorola went on the books after an interview citing, quote, "Many believe that the Nexus 6 was supposed to have a fingerprint scanner, but when Apple bought it, they nixed the project," unquote. This story coming in from Ars Technica and just about any other type of technical magazine that you can think of over the past week, that when the Nexus 6 was initially under design, yes, it was supposed to have a fingerprint scanner. But when Apple came along and bought the fingerprint scanner producers that they were looking at, they bought the best one, and instead of wanting to go in and go for second best, they just went ahead and cut it out. Now, if you are a Nexus owner and you flip your phone over, you'll notice a little indention where it's got the little Motorola symbol there on the back. That is where it was supposed to be. We can see the success that Apple is having with their fingerprint scanners. Many apps and developers are going on the book citing that they're having many good things coming out with that, whether it be for pulse rate, fitness rates, things of that nature. There's even development of a glucose monitor, to my understanding. So, you know, that can help people in the long run. And there's just many, many other different things that are going on in the advancement in the iPhone industry with the fingerprint scanner. No news yet from the Motorola camp as to what future engagements might entail concerning a fingerprint scanner. But as this is a concerning the Nexus 6 and a past development, but as Apple has shown they can make the fingerprint scanner work, it is under pretty good speculation that sometime soon Motorola will be releasing a device, not sure which device, but a device in some way, shape, or form that will have this capability. For those who aren't up to date, the White House was on security lockdown because one of its employees threw a DJI drone over the gate and wound up crashing it. This goes to prove, A, don't get drunk and fly, B, we really got this to happen, and C, the folks at DJI released a patch for all of their drones that they're going to put geofencing on all of them to where in certain states, you cannot fly their products. That's supposed to be kind of implemented anyway. I mean, everybody knows that the White House is kind of a no-fly zone anyway with all the security and military that follow the place. But, you know, it is what it is. It's kind of, I don't know, I read this story and it made headline news for about 3 or 4 days. And a lot of people got a laugh out of it. I mean, a drone. But if you think about it, if you were to take that drone, put a certain amount of substances and chemicals on it, you could get it in and cause quite a few problems for quite a few different people. The fact an individual who was an employee at the White House just adds to the irony. TracFone. For those who don't know, TracFone is an MVNO in the United States. They were fined on account of throttling services. Now, an MVNO is a cell phone provider who rents space from another carrier. So let's just, I believe for this example, it was AT&T branded track phones that were having this issue. Well, TracFone, unfortunately, has to go by the whims of AT&T. AT&T is trying to get rid of all of their, quote, unlimited plans, and so they executed throttling. TracFone did get fined by the FCC. They did get sued. AT&T actually came down and said, okay, this is what we're doing. They went ahead, they changed their policies, and have made things better from there. Remember me talking about the black phone? Yeah, that's that unhackable, ultra-secure black phone they found a vulnerability. There is a text messaging backdoor vulnerability for decryption to allow people to stalk you. And this is actually the most interesting thing that I found concerning this entire story was it was found, it was announced, and 48 hours later, it was patched. So these people at the Black Phone are taking this story very, very seriously. And I think it's interesting to see how the folks that designed and built the Black Phone are taking this so seriously for the simple fact that there was a vulnerability located, it was exploited, and then it was patched right away. You won't find that kind of service from anybody. You won't even find it from Microsoft, and everybody knows how much I'm not too fond of Microsoft. Keyless locks were in the news a lot today, and I bring this up, and people say, oh, keyless locks, they're on the house. But you can use your phone to unlock them. And the beauty of it is it's a digital phone. So here's the way this works. You have a digital key that you create with your phone that is accessible through near-field communication, NFC. Take it and you tap it against the doorknob. Doorknob unlocks. Near-field communication, about 2 feet, if that, okay? Depending if you have your phone in a case or something of that nature, it might be a couple inches, but you do have to get very close to get the NFC to happen. Now, this is where my little spidey senses perked up a little bit, because with this digital key, say you get a phone call from somebody saying, hey, I locked my keys out, or I locked myself out of the house, can you unlock it? You can email that key to somebody via email. You can email that key to, say, someone who's going to check on the dog for you if you're going to be out for the day. And here's what's even more interesting. You can set that key to expire at any given time. So one thing that comes to my mind is my wife and I, we go out of town about once a month. We'll go out of town for a couple days or something of that nature, and we'll have the father-in-law go over to check on the dog and bring in the mail. We can set that up to where he can come over and he can check on the dog, and when we get back to town, we can set that key to expire. And that's kind of cool. I looked at that and I was like, nifty. That's kind of neat. Keyless lock, 6 1-way, half dozen another. The fact that it's near-field communication has some people going, oh, no. But if you think about it, near-field communication is still pretty secure, okay? Near-field communication still has its advantages. Near-field communication is just that, near-field. It's not something like it logs into your Wi-Fi router. No, it's all one unit right in there. Hacking it, I haven't really read too awful many instances where keyless locks have been getting hacked. I mean, I imagine that if somebody works on it long enough, they'll get it. But that was something that was kind of interesting to me because I hate carrying my keys. That's my biggest thing. I'll leave the house on my way to work or something like that, and I'll forget my keys. Do I put my work keys with the truck keys? No, I don't. I keep them as two separate things because sometimes I don't always drive to work. Okay, sometimes I might take public transit, something of that nature. So, I've got to be able to keep those separate. And sometimes it gets to be a real pain in the ass for the simple fact that if you forget those keys, well, you're sorry out of luck. However, on the flip side of that, there is also a Wi-Fi-enabled key lock to where you can pull up an app on your device, and you can look at that app and see what doors within the range of your Wi-Fi router are either locked or unlocked. It's kind of like I don't want to necessarily call it an alarm system, but it will tell you if the doors are secure and ready for you to leave. Now, as always, nothing beats a good walk around just to check the door manually, but there's about 10 different doors where I work. And it takes me about 15 to 20 minutes to walk the entire building to check all the doors. But, Is my boss going to be likely to jump for keyless locks anytime soon? I don't really think so, just because I know the guy. And until there's these keyless locks become more mainstream and become more cost efficient, I think at that point in time he might. But as it stands right now, I don't see those anywhere near in my future. But they are something that is coming out. It's part of the quote-unquote connected home and part of the popularity in the wireless world. The application Waze, that is the Google's crowdsourced mapping app. It is different from Google Maps, but it is a crowdsourced mapping app where if you're a Waze user, you can log in and you can type stuff in to let everybody else know, say, hey, there's a traffic jam here, car accident there, find a detour. Story came out from the Associated Press from Washington, D.C., citing, quote, this traffic app is causing concerns among law enforcement, unquote. That's right, causing concerns among law enforcement. Outside of the obvious that they're setting up speed traps, it is my understanding that with this particular story, a particular law enforcement individual got ambushed, and communication was being done through Waze. No response from Google as to the confirmation or validity of this story, but it was something that kind of raised my eyebrows. Crowdsourcing is a good thing in certain instances. It's also a bad thing in certain instances. Also need to remember, folks, that if you're using Waze and you're crowdsourcing traffic information and you're looking at your phone while you're texting, who's driving? I mean, that's something else that comes up a lot. You know, do people want to be driving distracted while they're trying to keep up with Waze? You know, I'm not a big Waze user. I tried using Waze a couple times, and it's too resource hungry for me. I've got about my top 10 apps that I will not use at all because they're so resource intensive. Facebook's one of them. Waze is another. They're so hungry for data and so hungry for resources because they're constantly updating and they're constantly doing stuff. I mean, the apps themselves, they do well, but if you don't know what you're doing, you're going to wind up burning up your battery. You're going to wind up, you know, running out of power before your day is over. Now, as if the world was watching the Microsoft release show, Connected Home is back in the news, and here's why. Always on, not as big an issue as it used to be. I've gone on the books I don't know how many times on various shows concerning Xbox One and my desire to not have my room listened to all the time. Okay, they've started limiting that. However, when the Microsoft release show came out, one of the few things that was mentioned was the always-on capability. Cortana, it's always on, folks. Google Now is always on if you have that capability enabled. To my understanding, Cortana will have always-on enabled by default. You should be able to opt out of that. And so that's just going to be something rather interesting that we watch as well. Because as of the release, Windows 10 is going to be a great thing, okay? Yes, I said that, folks. Windows 10 is going to be a great thing. It looks sleek. It looks sharp. Lots of people I've been interacting with are saying that they're excited for Microsoft 10 or Windows 10 to see what it's going to do. More information on that in a discussion I had with Mr. Old School concerning Windows 10 as well. Qualcomm chips, they were overheating, causing certain devices to melt or malfunction. Among these devices, the Galaxy S5 and the Galaxy Note Edge. Samsung says, that's it, we're done. Now, many different theories as to why this is, because Samsung is getting ready to release the Galaxy S6 at Mobile World Congress in Barcelona. They're also speculated to release their Galaxy Note 5 as well as another version of the Note Edge. Whether or not the Note 5 and the Note Edge will be announced at Barcelona, we're not quite sure. But the Galaxy S5 is going to be released, and it's currently looking like it's going to have an Exynos chip, which is manufactured by Samsung, and then we'll just see what happens from there. Qualcomm has already lined out their 2015 budget, citing that their increase is going to be a lot lower because they're not selling to Samsung anymore. I just look at this from the perspective that, you know, the chips were overheating, okay, but of all the Qualcomm chips that are out there in the world today, how many devices outside of Samsung are having issue? I mean, that's just food for thought, folks, okay? Something like that happens, and it's dominated by a single manufacturer. I am inclined to believe that it is something that is an isolated incident. Once again, no words from the folks at LG, HTC, Motorola, or any of the other manufacturers that utilize Qualcomm chips as to what their response is. But as it looks right now, it does look like the overheating issue is isolated to Samsung only. Now, HTC went on the books back when Lollipop was initially announced, citing that they would be ready for the Lollipop 5.0 Android to roll out 90 days after the announcement of the operating system. Unfortunately, due to complications and communication with the folks at Google, HTC is going to miss that mark. They're citing, quote, due to unforeseen reasons, we have had to push back the release of the 5.0 Lollipop build for HTC M7 and M8 devices. What this actually means for the folks at Google, Google says, hey, we're trying to help people out, get things taken care of. I mean, Google's already up to 503 on the Lollipop build, so they do recognize that there's some quirks that are built into that. Mr. Old School did reach out to me a couple years ago, citing that the 5.0 Lollipop is giving him some issues when it comes to his Nexus 7 first generation. And the 5.0 build, when it was initially released, did go on the books as having some issues, some system lag issues. That's why 5.01 and 5.02 were released respectively. Google is doing, in my opinion, a reasonable job in making sure that they're addressing these objections and keeping people up to date with the operating system. Outside of that, for those who know, the Super Bowl, which is American football, was this past week, and Microsoft was on the commercials a couple different times showcasing their Surface, as well as the Surface platform was also all over the field. Coaches were using it. Players were using it. Many people up in the review booths were using it. Looks like Microsoft is really making a dominant move in the mobile space when it comes to the industry. And this is something interesting because you didn't usually see Microsoft stand out like that. Very seldom would you see a tablet or any type of touch computer on the field. Everybody always had their flip books or their notes or things like that. Microsoft has actually gone in. There's rumors that they have an agreement getting ready to fire up with all the sports industries in the United States in an effort to advance their mobile in this. And, hey, more power to them. If Microsoft can do it and get it to work and people can be happy with it, more power to them as they advance what they do. Microsoft is in a great place to make this work. Microsoft is in a great place. I mean, they've got the software. They can design an app with their developer unit that they have established. And I think they can make something like this work. They have that ability, they have that establishment, they have that means to accomplish what needs to be accomplished in this space. And as far as I'm concerned, Microsoft can do it. I mean, they already have a good foothold in the corporate space, okay? There's not much difference between corporate and professional sports. There's still money, there's still meetings, it's not like you're going to have 500 people logging into something to move on from there. I mean, if there's one company that can do this and do it right, Microsoft can do it. More things to come from that as it's available, and is definitely something that I'm going to watch with interest for the simple fact that Microsoft is making a dominant move I mean, with the announcement of Windows 10, there's a lot of things that they can do here, and a lot of things that they can make work better for them as well. Digital driver's licenses. Yes, digital driver's licenses. That means it's an app that you download to your mobile device and you keep your driver's license on your phone or tablet. It started in Iowa and it moved over to Delaware. And those are the two states in the continental United States right now that have this capability. This, two different ways you can look at this. One, I hate carrying my driver's license because I hate picking up my wallet. I don't carry much money in my wallet to start with. I mean, with the advancements of NFC and things of that nature, I can definitely understand. But, so let's just say, okay, that you are an unscrupulous individual and you get pulled over and, officer comes up and says, driver's license and registration, please. And so you have to unlock your phone and give it to him. Whether or not that falls into the rights of privacy, I don't know. But this leads to, once the police officer has your phone in his hand to check your driver's license, what's stopping him from checking other things? Okay. At one point in time, before I was too concerned about security, I loaned my phone to an individual to check something, and they wound up going through everything in my phone and wound up learning a lot of personal things about me that I really wish that they wouldn't have. But this can work one of two different ways. A, it's a convenience because it's easier on the state. You can take your own picture and things of that nature. But that leads into the giving people access to your device who shouldn't really need access. It seems to be going well in Iowa, so you know, I'm not quite sure. We'll see exactly what happens from there, and interesting to know how much further this is going to go, because you know, we're all getting in the digital industry. Majority of us are in the digital industry in some way, shape, or form. And as phones get more and more advanced and governments get more and more advanced, we're going to start doing away with some of our older things. I mean, Tap to Pay is doing a great thing right now. NFC, they're doing a great thing right now. Now we've got digital driver's licenses. You know, people can keep track of their health on their phone with Fitbits and monitors and things of that nature. So it's taking that extra step forward. It's taking another step. It's going to be a slow step, but it's taking that extra step. And that's going to lead me into my question of the week. Feedback coming up right after this. My question to all of you out there, what goes in to your cell phone decision process? Let me say it again. What goes in to your decision on a cell phone? Okay? You can all, if you want, you can tell me what you're carrying right now, what you've carried before, things of that nature, but I'm interested to know. I mean, people that have been listening to me for a while, they know, you know, I've followed through many of my processes when it comes to smartphone selection. I'm interested to know what yours is. And that leads me into some feedback with Mr. Old School and I. Actually, we get into some pretty heated, entertaining conversations on Twitter. And in response to my question of the week a couple weeks ago, quote, my tablet is 7 inches and I consider it a, quote, good size. 9 to 13 inches should not be your standard. Hashtag size doesn't matter. A couple weeks ago, I went into a great big old diatribe concerning how big is too big. 7 inches, that's a good form. I mean, don't get me wrong. I have my Nexus 7 second generation. It does very good. It works for me, and I'm interested to see what's going to happen because tablets are getting smaller, phones are getting bigger. Mr. Old School goes on, quote, I'm curious how ubiquitous networking is going to work in the wild. If they could get Intel processors on phones, imagine that. Yeah, I actually could imagine that. Intel processors aren't really dominant in the mobile space. Right now, it's either Qualcomm or Exynos. and Qualcomm, obviously manufactured by Qualcomm, Exynos chips manufactured by Samsung. If Microsoft could get their hands on the Intel chip in their mobile devices, this could be a great, great thing for them, because Intel, it's a Microsoft product, folks. I mean, yeah, sure, they do a lot of stuff for Microsoft and a lot of stuff with Microsoft, but Intel for years has been closely associated with Microsoft. Going back to Mr. Old School, quote, cloud services are becoming a lot easier. OneDrive works amazing with Office 2013. And concerning that, OneDrive is the Microsoft cloud-based service. And my response to that was, if they get it to work properly, it's going to be very exciting to see. And I agree with that. You know, it's continuing to get better. Microsoft has really stepped up their game and really made things a lot better for themselves in the cloud space. Some more conversation with Mr. Old School. It is app-driven. It is not driven by Internet Explorer, so you have to download the app for for the cloud storage space. And Mr. Old School responds to that, citing, quote, fuck Internet Explorer. It's a piece of shit. And that actually brought in a response from AA Andy Anderson. Internet Explorer is the only one that runs a WWE network for me. Otherwise, I use Chrome. This brings in something else. If you're having problems running Flash-enabled programs or software that is not associated with the Chromecast, try Firefox. Unfortunately, Internet Explorer has way too many holes for me. You know, Mr. Old School, he piped in, citing again, the only reason Internet Explorer is still on the market share is because businesses are too lazy to recode their websites for compatibility. End quote. Thank you, Mr. Old School. Flash is such junk, okay? It's so inefficient. It's so hard to deal with. It's so hard to associate with. HTML5 needs to become the new standard very, very quickly. And I find it considerably, I think of it more and more considerably to be a pain in the ass. Okay? It's slow, it's painstaking, and overall, it's just not a very good experience. When the rest of the internet gets on board and switches over to HTML5, I will be very happy about that. Rumors currently floating around citing that Spartan will be 100% HTML5 driven. They're going to do away with Flash. And so that's going to pretty much make the Flash industry go to pot. Toons Brian also piped in on the question of the week. This week's question was, how big is too big for phones? He wanted to make sure that we all understood he was determining phones, right? He says, quote, I think it's an interesting question in that it ties closely to your trademark starting point of what do you want to use it for? I personally don't use my cell phone for watching movies or playing a lot of games, although many of my coworkers do. So having a larger screen size isn't really an issue for me. As a direct result, I like a phone that just feels right, regardless of size. I currently have an iPhone 4S that is ready to be replaced, but is actually a decent size for my hands, which is what really matters in the end. If you can't hold the phone comfortably while you're having a conversation, then what good is it? Phones that are as big as the side of your face, that the one is talking to them, crack me up. And I often wonder how they can even fit in a pocket, pants, jeans, or otherwise. So people can have a free hand and do things, it looks good, besides it's the look of the phone. In the end, the market dictates and the consumer always dictates what the companies make, though. Which is very good, Brian. Thank you very much. I do appreciate that feedback concerning my question of the week. You know, once again, what do you want your device to do? And I appreciate him for throwing that back to me, just for the simple fact that's what I say. I don't condone anybody for carrying a smaller device. I don't condone anybody for carrying a particular operating system anymore. I did actually get into a heated discussion with one of my instructors yesterday concerning Nexus versus Samsung, and I voiced my opinion to her, and she's like, "Oh, Samsung is just so great," and we got into a pretty big discussion concerning that belief. But, you know, she's been a Samsung user for years. She's been a Galaxy S user for years. She's seen the way TouchWiz has evolved. She doesn't have a problem with it outside of the fact she gets poor battery life. And I look at her and I say, well, that's because of TouchWiz. But, you know, Samsung works for her. Microsoft works for Mr. Old School. An older iPhone works for Brian. You know, Android works for me. Folks are finding form factors that work for them. Many people that complain about the Nexus 6, about it being too big, yet don't want to back down to the Nexus 5 or a device that's smaller, if it's not a big enough complaint for you to change what you're doing, then why complain about it? I'm reminded of a story that I was told as an example in an econ class. A gentleman went over to a farmer's house. They were sitting on the front porch talking, and there's a dog laying on the steps. A couple minutes go by, and the dog picks its head up, and he howls, puts his head back down. The visitor didn't think anything about it, so he went about his conversation. A couple minutes later, the dog picks its head up again, howls again, puts his head back down. The visitor looked at the owner of the dog and said, what's up with the dog? And he said, oh, him? He's just laying on a nail. He doesn't want to move, but he just wants to bitch about it every once in a while. Folks, if you've got a valid gripe about something, I understand that. But if you're just going to bitch about something to bitch about it, I don't really have too much sympathy for you. I mean, if you want to sit there and you want to bitch about something and then take action to change it to where, you know, oh, this phone is too big, we'll get a smaller phone. Well, I don't want to do that. Well, shut up then. You know, if it's a valid argument, I can understand that. But there's plenty of people that I come in contact with on a regular basis that have embraced the bigger phone. Okay? I got a Nexus 6. The 5.95-inch screen, I was a little hesitant, but I went in with an open mind. Okay? I've continued to, instead of complaining about it, can I work this into my life? Can I get it to work properly? Can I get it to do what I want it to? And I tell you what, it does. Brian and Mr. Old School, he reaches out to me on Twitter on a regular basis. Once again, just mention me in a tweet at Piper the DJ. Brian from Tunes, he reached out to me through email, piperthedj@gmail.com, in response to my question of the week. And once again, my question to you, what goes into your cell phone decision process? And what do you go through when all that comes up to? Final story of the night, Apple quarter one reports. Oh, yes, Apple quarter one for 2015. They've already started it. I believe their first quarter ended at the beginning of February. Their quarters end a little bit differently from everybody else's, but this was actually very interesting to me because I looked at it and my jaw dropped. 18 billion with a B, folks, in profit across the board in their mobile space. 74 million iPhones sold, okay, versus the 74 million cell phones sold by Samsung. Okay? Now understand this comparison. 74 million iPhones, that's one device. Well, actually two devices because the iPhone 6 and the iPhone 6 Plus. Okay? Versus the 74 million, same number, over the 50 devices that Samsung has sold. That's pretty astronomical. I honestly believe that it's safe to say that Samsung is a little bit on the downswing here. They've tried for years to be like Apple when it comes to doing a keynote, and I thought they were getting to a point where they kind of understand that you know, no one can do a keynote like Steve Jobs or Tim Cook. We'll see once Mobile World Congress, which is supposed to be next month, and more will come as that is available as well. Getting back to Apple, 21 million iPads have been sold beginning of the year. And iOS 8.1.3 is now available, continuing to fix minor bug fixes and notifications and various things of that nature. If you're having troubles getting hold of the 8.1.3 update for your iPhone, Google the instructions. They have it on the Apple website as well as many other technical websites that are available. More stuff to get to, but I am out of time right now. I might release a half episode here shortly for the simple fact that I'm just running out of time right now. That is unfortunate on my end, but that is unfortunately, and I'm saying unfortunately an awful lot, unfortunately. That's just the way it's going to roll out today. I'm Piper the DJ, folks, right here on Trending Mobile Technology. This has been episode 97. Make sure you're checking out the brand new Trending Topics Network every day. We've got plenty of new stuff. We are the home of the hashtag. If you like professional wrestling, WWE and TNA, hashtag tweet the table. That's Captain Awesome and T-Mac, where they break down WWE and TNA for you every week. You can also hashtag OSATM. That's Old School and his panel of critics as they break down the weekly box office. Hashtag All Line Aside. It's an all-ladies show where they get on and they talk about current events, things that affect women. Mr. Old School has also kicked off a show in response to All Line Aside. That's BYOB. I'm not sure if he has a hashtag on that, but you can find him on Twitter as well, looking for Mr. Old School. There's also hashtag Anything Goes, hashtag NFL Easy Picks, hashtag DSJMP WrestleCast, hashtag Tunes. That's T-O-O-N-Z, or hashtag iTunes, I-T-O-O-N-S. So want to make sure that we're checking all that out. That way, everything can keep moving forward. And I'm back here too. Like I said, I took a bit of a hiatus, but I am back in force. I fully vow to get myself back in the routine swing of things and do everything that I can to make sure that I'm giving you the mobile news. That way you can make an educated decision based on the information that's available. From all of us to all of you on the mobile scene, I am Piper the DJ, taking a bite out of the mobile space. Good night.